Hello and welcome to the Linux Lads. Hashtag Free Britney. I'm Shane, as usual. And I'm joined by Mike and Connor. How are yous?
Hello. I'm Mike and I'm definitely not Britney, but I'm free.
Free for what exactly?
I don't know. I'm just free to decide.
I'm just toxic.
Okay.
There is a great cover by The Static Lullaby, or Aesthetic Lullaby, I think. It's amazing. Look it up. I'll put the video on in the show notes.
Excellent. So music recommendations as well as Linux.
Part of the job, you know.
For this episode, what we did was we're decided to do a more in-depth distro review, and the Zorin OS 16 beta is out for the last week or two, and we all fired it up and gave it a whirl. So yeah, we're going to discuss that in a moment. I just wanted to mention I installed Pi-hole. I wanted to do something with every Raspberry Pi that I own, because I'm, you know, bored. Lockdown, all that shit. All these Raspberry Pis are sitting around. I'd love to actually put every single one of them to use somehow. And I did. I actually got the Raspberry Pi 2 and I put Pi-hole on it and hooked it up to my router's DNS. And yeah, it's just sitting on my desk now, just running away there for the last couple of days. And it's got an absolutely sick dashboard. Like, you can get the dashboard in your browser on your phone and stuff. It's responsive. It looks really great. Actually sped up our internet on our computers noticeably. There is a slight, like when you go to a news site, there's a slight lag because, you know, the Pi isn't as powerful as whatever infrastructure your ISP has, but it still does the job, like, because it's still a much nearer device. So you're getting your DNS queries a lot quicker. And if it can't do anything or it doesn't block anything, it sends the query off to another DNS server of your choice. And I chose OpenDNS because open whatever. I don't know.
For the record, I use Quad9. No other reason than it just seems to be nice.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how do you choose a DNS server? They're all better than the one that your ISP gives you. So yeah, that was really fun. So that was a fun project, though. That did noticeably speed up the internet, and it did eliminate most of the ads that we'd see on web pages. Unfortunately, it didn't. The LG TV, the smart TV, and the Chromecast are still showing in the network tab in the menu as never having queried the Pi. So that's disappointing. I might have to like flush the DNS cache in the smart TV and the Chromecast. I don't know if you. I don't even know how to do that.
I don't think you'd be able to get to the DNS. The DNS in the Chromecast is going to be hard coded to Google's DNS service.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
pay good money to think so.
I also, unfortunately, I got a new audio interface from a friend who makes music. He works on electronic music, and he gave me this. This old like Akai interface he has with like four XLR inputs and all that kind of thing. And I was really excited about this because I wanted a better one. And yeah, it doesn't work in Linux. So yeah, and I researched the shit out of it today after work, and I found the whole story basically. There was an ALSA developer was working on ALSA in his spare time. He started to write a driver for it. And some code is up on GitHub, but it's super, super basic and it's super early stages development. But like, it was kind of abandoned about 2 years ago. And I saw his post on the ALSA forum saying, oh no, I've got other things to do. Sorry, someone else can take it over. So, yeah, that's a disappointment.
So let's throw it out to the listeners. What audio interface for Linux do you recommend? Email show at linuxlabs.com. The reason why I mentioned that is because I was kind of eyeing up, it seems to be a rather compact and sexy device and seems to be have just plug and play it's compatibility with Windows. I don't know about Linux, so I'm throwing it out there. Is the Rode 81, I want to say. Seems to be a nice compact audio interface. As Shane well knows, I've been having audio interface issues over the last ones. The one I'm using at the moment is the Behringer. It seems to be fine. It's functional. The only thing is it's kind of overkill. There's like about two or thirds of the front of it is all just knobs and switches that I never use. So I'm like, that's taking up a lot of space for things, something that I hardly ever use. So I'm thinking of just simplifying everything. I'm not, it's functional, it works.
Yeah. Like there I know somewhere there it was written down all of, I'm pretty sure it's on like the Pulse Audio or the ALSA wiki, I'm not sure which one, but there is a list of working audio interfaces there somewhere. Maybe I'll dig it out and put it in the show notes. But yeah, it's an interesting topic, audio on Linux, because it's so interesting in some ways and it's so fucking terrible in other ways. So Zorin 16 beta is out and we all tried it. That's what I wrote in the show notes. You know, concise, to the point. See you in 2 weeks. I've been talking a lot. So, Mike, what are your initial impressions of Zorin 16 beta?
So, basically, I installed it on, or attempted to install it on, two things. One is the smaller laptop that has got some really strange hardware, like a Realtek Wi-Fi chip and so on. I couldn't proceed there because I wanted to install it on the SD card, and I didn't realize that you can't actually boot normally from the SD card because it's not present at boot. I don't know if there's something they can do, but that thing was interesting because even in the live CD, you could use a touchscreen. It has a gyro, or whatever. Like it, you can rotate the screen, and the screen would rotate with a little bit of blackout there, but that's normal on Linux. And the only thing that didn't work there during the install was the Wi-Fi, because the chip drivers, and I've noticed this with other like Ubuntu based distros, the driver isn't there, and that's maybe it's fixed in later versions of Ubuntu, but Zorin 16 is going to be based on the LTS, which is 2004. So if you have any kind of more esoteric hardware and you want to try Zorin, then you might want to find the drivers for it first. Then I put it on my normal laptop that actually came from the factory, from my big laptop that came from the factory, from the vendor with Linux on it, actually some version of Ubuntu back then. That just works as it should, you know. So there's NVIDIA graphics card in it. Zorin provides a very nice hardware driver chooser. That's something that I would really like to see in Fedora, for example, where it lets you choose the drivers for the card that you have. There is good help to help you choose, and it's like a fraction of the time that you need on many other distros to find the driver. Next nice thing is that it basically lets you select the kind of environment or the layout of the environment that you are going to be using. So from something that has got like the bottom panel with the categorical menu to the more GNOME like menu. It is based on GNOME shell, but that one I really liked, because basically what I'm getting it, as long as you stick to hardware that supports older versions of Ubuntu, then the choices that they make are geared to people who want to be able to make choices, but don't want to learn a lot, don't necessarily want to or have the time to learn and research a lot about Linux. So it's kind of, it provides you with settings for many things, more than in normal GNOME. And
would you say so?
Yeah. I would say so. Yeah, out of the for starters, you have extensions. If you just install vanilla GNOME with no extensions, Zorin OS has got a really good set of extensions installed by default. Second thing, the layout thing.
It has a few custom things.
Yeah, and the layout thing, obviously, it starts in the kind of Windows 7 mode that I'm not a very big fan of, but other people really like, and that obviously is not how GNOME looks. So you can change it to look a bit more decent, and I said it in jest. But what I really liked is the theme chooser, And basically a lot of things that will help you choose what you want your system to look like within some limits, obviously. It's not KDE. But within those limits, you can choose quite a lot of customization. And I've talked a lot, so I'll let Connor speak and I'll come back to some points later.
My impressions of it, I really liked the startup jingle. Little things. I'm like, that's a nice startup jingle. The boot animation, those little things. I was like, oh, nice. Good job, guys. Nice default theme. It's very crisp and professional looking. You can easily change it to a dark theme. Looking at you, Gnome, by default, where it's a way to, they're like, a way to dark, what are you talking about? That doesn't exist. One thing I will say is, for somebody, as Mike was alluding, for people who are coming from a Windows 7, 10 UI from Flow background, they did little tweaks that I look here and there, just little niceties. I mean, obviously, of course, you have the basic bar at the bottom and the menu. I haven't come across this on any other Linux distribution that I've noticed that has a bar at the bottom. If you in Windows, if you right click on what they call the taskbar, and then you'll see your task manager on the list. Here I am in KDE, and when I right click, I don't see like launch the system monitor or whatever. In Zorin OS, I saw right click and said show system monitor or something like that. I was like, oh, they thought about that workflow for people who are just Windows power users who are just right. If they say, oh, I want to launch the task manager, right click on the panel, task manager, like it's two clicks and there it's launched rather than typing or whatever. Those little things, I just went, those little it's niceties. And I was thinking, I don't know if it's related to Dash to Panel, the extension, or is it their own one? They call it the Zorin panel, but I don't know how related it is in the back end. Obviously, I didn't research that, so it could be completely and utterly unrelated. But that was just my observation. Is anytime that I use GNOME, I tend to install Dash to Panel because that is my preference, but I don't know if they're any way related. But both of them are good implementations of that bottom panel paradigm.
I don't think so, just to jump in there, because I have got I selected the GNOME layout. I looked at the Windows C layout for about a second and said, no, I can't use this. And selected the GNOME one, and I'm right-clicking on the top panel, and it doesn't do anything. So whatever they are using for the bottom panel must be something completely different.
Yeah, okay.
They do have like a couple of custom panels in there that you wouldn't see in GNOME, as far as I remember. There's one with the full width. Maybe you can do this in GNOME tweaks, maybe. But like, there's a full width dock. It's not really a panel; it's a dock kind of thing. It's like the taller, kind of like the docky kind of style, or there's a bunch of them. But like, you have your applications menu on the left, and then you've got all your icons in the middle. And I don't see the point of that one, to be honest. I mean, whatever floats your boat. But
touch devices.
But like, yeah, exactly. That's one thing I've noticed. Actually, there is a little bit of kind of touch fairy dust in there, because on the lock screen, you have to either scroll up or hit the space bar to, you know, lift the screen and log in. So I'm pretty sure that's a GNOME feature, but like, that's definitely touch related.
I just changed it to whatever we were talking about, and that's I don't think I've ever actually seen it on anything else. But again, I don't go exploring Windows very much. It looks like somebody took the Mac dock, well, the Mackie dock, and put it on the top of a Windows panel, because you have got, it's like the dock and the panel combined together.
Yeah, exactly. I find it, yeah, the combination rather unnecessary, to be honest.
Well, as you said, whatever floats people's boats.
Exactly. Well, like, there is some nice things, like the dock, that what you talked about, Connor, the Zorin Dash, they call it. it is nice, and I like a dock. I do like the Mac style dock. It is really cool. But the only thing is, I want it to stay really small until I mouse over it. And you can do that in Zorin, but I like the animations where it's small and then you mouse over it and they get really big, because it's just really, it's not like a fancy thing or for it to look cool. It's genuinely useful because you can just move your mouse to the bottom of the screen, have all your favorites there, and then they can be small and unobtrusive, and then you move your mouse over them and it's like, oh yeah, Firefox, whatever, Telegram, etc.
For you old school people, remember the AWN dock? Was it Avant Window Navigator? I think I remember that. Oh, yeah. Just you talking about that, those Zoom animations. I was like, I remember there was panels way back like 10 years ago that tried to do the tried to copy the Mac like Zoom. And
that's true. Yeah, actually, I remember that one. Yeah, that was really old
talking
school.
Talking of animations, the jelly mode. I don't know why, but I really like it.
Oh, the jelly mode, of course.
I like the jelly mode when you can basically shake the windows and they move like jelly. Bubbly, and
taking it all the way back to 2009.
Yeah,
bro.
I don't know why I like it, right? But and then when you like maximize an application, I don't have it set up, but
it's not the same unless when you close a window, it bursts into flames. I mean,
that one was great. But yeah, the jelly mode I think is just an Easter egg and a nice one at that.
It is,
yeah. But you know, it has got to minimize and maximize. So if you have got one of those layouts where you have got the bottom panel, and it provides you with minimize, maximize window controls. So when you use those, it kind of funnels into the icon at the panel as well, like the window does. That's kind of like that's pretty as well. Yeah, I do think that like they put so much into trying to make this functional and slick and professional that obviously, by the way, this in what you can see in the public beta, that's just part of what they offer, because obviously Zorin has got a ultimate version which is paid for, where there's more layouts and more other stuff which is not obviously available for the 16 yet.
Oh yeah, this is a core, and in order to experience the ultimate, all of us would have
you wouldn't be able to, because there is no
true.
I actually because I like sometimes supporting open source software.
Yeah, I paid for a Zorin OS ultimate license.
Me too.
It was 40 euro, 39 euro, something like that.
But I think you will need to you would need to pay again for 16. I don't actually know. That's something to find out. But I don't know if you would.
No, I think it's a lifetime license.
But across versions, interesting.
Let's have a look.
I don't know, because there is no, you can't buy the 16 yet, because it's...
While Shane is researching that, I will just say a couple of things. Rhythmbox, nothing surprising about Rhythmbox, but it's a very good player, is Rhythmbox by default looks kind of dated in this modern GNOME client-side decorations world. And there is a third-party plugin that's not included by default in Rhythmbox. I think there's been back and forth with the Rhythmbox developers whether they're going to make it the official look or not. And then just going back into the little niceties, I went, oh, that looks like the client-side decorations. I wonder, has Rhythmbox updated its look? And then I looked into the plugins, and it's the third-party plugin. It's just enabled by default. I was like, huh. Nice. It's those little niceties. I was like, oh, good attention to detail there. Nice guys. I noticed they're using Totem as the media player, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Totem. I just thought that was unusual on the GNOME environment. I thought they would use GNOME MPlayer, or what is it called? Celluloid is called now.
Yeah.
Totem, I think, is the XFCE default player. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I just thought, oh, that's an interesting choice. But yeah, fair deuce.
Yeah, I was just to butt in there. Zorin OS 16. Yes, you're right, Mike. It's just for the 15 versions. But that said, you get security updates until 2023.
Yeah.
Or software updates.
Yeah. But yeah, because that's based on 1804. So 1804 software updates are coming till 2023. This one, this Orin 16 is going to be based on, or the beta is based, and the system is going to be based on the later LTS on 2004. The GNOME is, I think, 338 or 336. It's obviously not GNOME. It's not GNOME 40. But yeah, it's... what I wanted to mention, really, is the amount of things that you can get from the software application. It's just a software, so I don't know if they call it software. But they put together snaps, flatpaks. I think it even installs app images. I'm not sure. Let me check that. Again, live research. If I look for Joplin...
Yes, you're right. It does. It's, yeah, it's Debs, flatpaks, and app images all available from the store. But not snaps.
Yeah, snaps are there as well. If you look for Audacity...
I did. They weren't mentioned. Or were they?
Yeah, I can. I'm just looking at something from snapcraft.io. Yes, definitely. Definitely you can get...
Control F snap. Oh, yeah. Okay, I stand corrected.
What's the enterprise friggin' Office 365 email client? Curi or something? H-U-R-I? I think that's only a snap.
Yeah, it is. If you look for Hiri, H-I-R-I, it is there.
Oh, H-I-R-I, sorry.
So that's a snap. And it will even show you if the developer is like, you know, snaps have got that little tick that tells you that it's official developer for the application or approved or something. But yeah, so you can get a hell of a lot of software. Sometimes I found that it's a bit confusing because sometimes the, for example, if you look at Hiri, you've got on the top, if you click on the Hiri up in the center, on the top you have got like a selection button that lets you select which version you want from the Snap Store because it's like the latest, beta, candidate, and stable, right? That button for other application, for example, for Joplin, I think it would do it. So for Joplin, there isn't one. For some other application, that button would also include like Flatpak or the. So you could select using that button. I think you could select. What if you want it from Flatpak or if you want it from the repos, if it's available and so on, right? But in some other cases, the software might have kind of two different names for, I think that's what it is. Like if it might have different names for, depending on if it's Flatpak or if it's Snap, and then you have to sell, then it doesn't come up through the button. You have to select it from the, from the main menu. I'm just trying to find an application where basically it allows you to select maybe I'm making this up, maybe cut the whole thing, I don't know. Because everything says just Snap Store. Don't know. Yeah. Oh, what I was talking about, if you look at VOC, there's a selection that lets you take it from the FlatHub.org, from Snap Store, and from Zorin OS repos, right? But some other applications, you've got different versions that you can install, but they are not installed. You don't use the button for them. They are listed in the search, which is kind of slightly confusing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a big one because they don't indicate on the list which one they are. They have slightly different descriptions or overviews, but that's about it. But other than that, you have to click on each one to see where it comes from. PopOS's implementation is way better. It's like a drop down and it has all the available sources, so it will have usually a deb or a snap or a flatpak.
So Zorin has got that as well, but for some application the drop down doesn't work, for some application it does. I think it depends on what they are called. Like,
actually, PopOS doesn't show snaps anymore, and I think I remember reading something about that.
I'm sure you can enable them. It's just a Ubuntu base, so I mean, with a lot of configurations. But if I should say some last words on this, I would really recommend it to somebody who's looking to explore Linux, because it can specifically the layout chooser lets you choose the, like, if you are coming from the Windows world but are and are really really into that workflow, but Zorin lets you, and I think it's Zorin and Ubuntu Mate do a similar thing. They lets you choose the layout, and you can try a different layout if you want to, without having to dual boot or without having to fiddle with a virtual machine. So that's a really good thing.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Another thing is the driver selection. Another thing is the amount of applications you can get for it. And just the attention to detail on this distro is on another level. Like, they put a lot of effort. It's not just superficial. They also, like, they have, it has comes with its own repos. So they produce software for this. And, you can see it's a lot of work that the project put into it. And, I would definitely recommend it to any beginners with Linux.
So, in conclusion, Zorin OS 16 gets 5 Linux lads boners out of 5.
Where are the other two coming from?
Even though there's only 3
something. Is there something we need to know about you, Connor?
Well, no, yeah, I was going to say they're commonly out of 5. So,
okay.
My only con, and it's not really a con. It's just that when I tried it, I didn't feel like it was directed at me. So I like something to be a bit more mysterious. No, but it's a great distro, but it's yeah, exactly. It's definitely good at who it's aimed for sure. And you know, even
without a doubt, it's for me, I've moved beyond that stage. It'll be a bit still having the stabilizers on, kind of for Linux distro for me. I'm like, it wouldn't be as confining as something as elementary OS, where I would feel quite constrained.
That's
the reason why,
yeah,
I kind of have avoided elementary OS. It's not quite that bad issue. But yeah, I mean, it for their target, it's brilliant. And for somebody who's used to Windows 10 or Windows 7, they like, you could slap it on your grandma's computer and she may not even notice, kind of thing. You might get less support calls.
So I think we'll wrap it up there. As usual, if you want to get in touch with us, you can find all our socials on linuxlads.com/contact. You can get us on Mastodon, Twitter, Telegram, all that good stuff. If you want to buy anything, you can go to linuxlads.com/store, like a mug or a t-shirt. That'd be really nice because it helps us out. Or you can just email us on show@linuxlads.com to tell us we're all a bunch of pricks. So, I've been Shane, as usual, and I've been joined by...
Connor.
And Mike.
Brilliant. We're not stealing your thing anymore, Joe. Fuck off. Goodbye. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.